Just what a morning, huh? My
Yes.
goodness. Chris was talking about the beauty, and it's funny he was talking about the beauty because he sent me a picture this morning, which really blessed me. Of right outside your house, I'm assuming. Is that what? Yeah, it was just bright blue skies, just bright blue skies. And I was just thinking about this past week of just, it's been crazy, a little craziness going on and stuff, and everybody coming in, it seemed like everybody was heavy. And I think part of that is we're in the gloom right now, right? We've had clouds every day, weeks. So it feels like forever. And just no sunlight, and everybody just kind of like down, and weird things going on, and chaos in people's families, and just a lot of stuff going on, right? And it was just like, and yesterday I woke up and it was sunny out, and I was like, it was like a turnaround. It was like a turnaround. And I just thought, wow, how important is light? How important is light? And isn't that what we're supposed to be displaying? Is light. So that same, I was thinking like that same feeling that we're getting from outside with the light and the sun is also the same feeling that we can give to people when we're in the light, when we're not sucked down by darkness. That has nothing to do with the message, but it's just what was going on, and I just thought it was important to share that the song that Sylvia just chose, the Eye of the Storm, that's what it's about, is like, how do we be light when we're going through trials? How do we be light when we're going through blessings? How can we get there? And the only way we can get there is through Christ. Because we can't do it ourselves. We can try to buck it up as much as we want, and we don't have the strength to buck up enough. This life will tear us down if we let it. I mean, there's a lot of things coming at us, isn't there? And so Randy just lost his mom, Tracy. Brad just passed away, so the whole family has taken another big hit. And there's a lot of things that happen through that. There's a lot of emotional things that we have to deal with in our lives whenever we have loss of ones that we love. There's issues we have to overcome. But there's also a deep sadness of that their physical presence are no longer going to be with us. And that's tough. And that's tough. And so what are we going to display during those tough times is what everybody else in the world is looking at. That's what they're looking at. What are these people that claim to have a God? How are they going to deal with that? And that's an important thing for us to always keep in mind, is how are we going to praise God in that storm? How are we going to praise God even though maybe our relationship wasn't what we wanted it to be with our family members? Are we going to praise God with the great things that our family members were there for? It's so important that we understand this stuff, and it's a big responsibility. It's a big responsibility for us to lean into, surrender to God, which is our theme, right? And that's what we're going to keep talking about today a little bit. Amy, did I talk to you about the message? No. And what did you say the songs were about? Blessings. So let's see what the title of this sermon is going to be. God blesses people who surrender to Him. Coincidence? Coincidence? But anyways, yes.
I just want to say, these people, the two people that we're talking about,
Yeah.
have accepted the Lord. They've
Yeah.
accepted the Lord, and we know now where they are.
Correct.
They're with Christ. They're with God in
Yes.
heaven.
Yeah.
And I think that is such a blessing
Can you say that again so that we can get it on mic?
because The people that we just prayed for, well, that we just discussed, Brad Holt and Tracy, Mazzullo, Randy's mother, they have both accepted the Lord. And we know they're in heaven. And they're the most happy people of any of us, but any of us could be, because we're in the place that we all want to get to. So that blesses my heart so much.
Yes.
Because they're gone, and we're going to miss them terribly. But they're gone to a beautiful place.
Yep.
A place that we can only imagine.
Right.
Until we get there.
Yep.
And so I just thank God that they were both Christians, they both believed, especially Bradley, because he became injured at age 17 and a half. And he came to Christ. That blesses me. Tracy too, because we've got to believe strong enough to know where we're going. And they did.
Yep.
So that blesses my heart so much.
Yep.
And so many of the others among us.
Yep. And that's where our light kind of comes from, right? Is knowing that. And not only that, but knowing that they're going to be physically and spiritually and mentally whole, right? Whole, redeemed in Christ. It's just that is a blessing. That is a blessing. So all their struggles, all their fight, all the battles they face, their sadness, all the things that we all face, they're over that now. They're in the glory of God. In the presence of Jesus. Oh, man, it's crazy to think about, really. So there is a lot of hurt here on earth, but knowing that is where it's at, right? Knowing that's where it's at. And that's what gives us comfort. That's what allows us to move on and share that light. So, yeah. And there's opportunity through that stuff, like in the eye of the storm when you were saying, like through our tears, we can be ministering to people, right? It's crazy. All right, so we're going to get into the message here. So basically, as we continue talking about having a deeper surrender to God's will, that's kind of our theme this year, I think. We're going to be continuing in Jonah, and so we started in Jonah 1, and then later on, I went into a couple weeks ago when people were here, we went into Jonah 2, just briefly, just kind of talking about his prayer, his repentance prayer. And we all said part of that, whoever was here or online. So we said that a little bit. But in chapter 1, we learned that by Jonah rebelling against the Lord's instruction, when he did the opposite of what God's instructions were, there were consequences, not only for himself, but everybody on the ship, right? And everybody on the ship who had nothing to do with the situation had to go through a storm. Isn't that funny? Through a storm, and they were all scared and worried about their life going through this storm that they had nothing to do about with. Right? Jonah rebelled against God. They got pulled into this, and they didn't even know him. So we got to see that there's an influence that we have in our choices of how things go, right? And how we can influence others, right? So it's important to keep that in mind, that when we push against God, we're not only affecting ourselves, we all think, hey, nobody else knows what I'm doing. Nobody else can see what I'm thinking. So that's just between me and God. No, that's affecting other people around us. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. Okay, so we did the repentant prayer, we recited part of that prayer, and today we're going into chapter 3, and we will see and discuss what potential blessings occur when we decide to surrender to God's will and instruction to us. So we saw what can happen when we rebel against God, there's consequences to that. Today we get to see the blessings that happen when we lay down our pride, when we surrender to his will for us, okay? And I just love that about the story of Jonah. Like there's the polar opposites, right? It shows us one way, and then it shows us the other way, right? And what can happen. So we're going to go to Jonah 3:1. We're just going to kind of cruise through this and put some little side notes. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. Which is exactly the same instruction he gave him before. Right? But he just didn't want to do it the first time. He wanted to push against God. Face some consequences. Ends up praying a repentant prayer. And God says, you know what? I'm going to give you a second chance. Did he have to give him a second chance? No. But he does, right? The Lord is a merciful God. Many times he gives us opportunities to correct our mistakes. Doesn't always, but sometimes he does. He doesn't have to. He has every right to give up on us. He could even destroy us. Like what he was going to do. He was going to destroy the city. Right? He can even do that if he wants. But he loves us. And even though we often do not deserve another opportunity, he gives it to us. Especially when we repent and have a repentant heart. Which is what happened to Jonah. Right? So he had a repentant heart. And he gave him another chance. And it was a true repentant heart. Verse 3. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's commands and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. Now picture that if that happened today. Some stranger who doesn't even live around here walks into Dummer and starts saying, 40 days, this place is going to be destroyed. What would happen? We'd all think people would be like, you're crazy, right? You're crazy. What are you talking about? Who gives you the authority to say that? You must be mentally ill. You got major issues, right? I'm going to do what I want. You're not going to tell me what to do, right? That's our rebellious spirit that we've gotten from the freedom that we have in our country. That all of a sudden, we have an idea that we can do whatever we want. But there is moral obligation and there is godly standards that we have to follow. But it's still our choice to follow or not. We have the freedom not to, just as Jonah did. Believers and non-believers, man, I can see the pushback, people telling the person to go pound sand. It's a different time period. The culture mindsets are different. That is not what happened back in that time period, though. In verse 5, we see the people of Nineveh believed God's message. From the greatest to the least. So it didn't matter if they had a lot of money. Didn't matter if they had a lot of power. Didn't matter if they had nothing. They believed it from the greatest to the least. They declared a fast. Boy, I think we heard that today. Isn't that a coincidence, again. They declared a fast. They put on a burlap to show their sorrow. Why a burlap bag or sackcloth in some Bibles, we'll say, right? Sackcloth. A sackcloth was a coarse material made by goat's hair, making it quite uncomfortable to wear. Itchy, right? Stiff. That was a symbol that they were using for their mourning and repentance. They were going to be uncomfortable. Why uncomfortable, I say to myself? Because it's a great reminder of what not to do, right? If you're uncomfortable, it's a reminder. Why am I wearing this uncomfortable piece of clothes? To remind me that I am supposed to be repenting right now. It's uncomfortable. In therapy, we use tape sometimes. If somebody isn't supposed to bend their arm, instead of putting on a big cast or something like that, we don't want to restrict them a lot, but we want to remind them, like, don't bend your arm. So if we put tape on the backside of their arm, when they go to bend it, they feel a tug on the backside of their arm. It's a reminder that they're not supposed to bend their arm. And so these people felt it was important enough to wear something uncomfortable, to repent, to fast. It was an act of surrender to the Lord and admitting that they were wrong and acting in a way that was not pleasing to God. Verse 6. When the king of Nineveh heard that Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne, took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in a burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. And think about the kings back at this time period. Every king that we've ever read about, they tend not to be a submitting person, right? The ones I read about most of the time are stubborn and obstinate. Oftentimes having attitudes no one or any God will tell me what to do. Right? That's what we read about, right? Often having an attitude that no one or any God will tell me what to do. Does that sound familiar? We can have that attitude, can't we? We can have that attitude. Remember what happened when Moses went to the Pharaoh and warned him what would happen if the Israelites were not released. Remember? The Pharaoh pushed against him every time. And even when he said he would do it, he didn't do it. That was the mentality of people in power back then. It's still the mentality of people in power today. So it's just to show you that this was a big deal. A big act of repentance by everyone, including the king, collectively for the city of Nineveh. Not just a small group or a portion of people. A large group of people committing. There's a power in that. There is a power in that. Not power from us, power from him. But still by our act towards his will gives the power. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. Wow. We're going to grab the animals even into this thing. Whew. How's that work out? Pretty good, Jason, when that happens? Not that good, right? Not only are the animals hungry and thirsty, but the owners have to deal with them, right? Verse 8, people and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. Everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop their violence. And that's what was going on in that city. It was an evil city. It was an evil city. Warranting, justified to be destroyed. Really? Really? And I look what's going on in our country and in the world. There's a justification that God could use very easily to destroy us. Very easily. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Verse 9. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. So if we repent, if we fast, if we pray, then hopefully God will show us mercy. And in verse 10 is where it's at. Then God saw their works. He sees what we're doing. He knows our heart. God saw their works, that they did turn from evil, their evil way. And God relented from the disaster he had said he would bring upon them. There's opportunity. There's opportunity. He relented. Whew. He did not do it. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. God saw whose works? Whose works? The people's. The people's of that city, right? We have to assume from the other stories in the Bible that the Lord will follow through on his warning and destroy the city, however, right? I mean, that's the assumption. We see when the Lord says something, he does it, right? But in this case, there was a change. There was a change. Because of their actions, God showed mercy and did not destroy the people of the city. Did this surprise God? No. No. See, the beautiful thing about God is he knew they were going to do this. And that's something hard for us to comprehend. Right? He knew they were going to act this way. That's a beautiful thing. But they still had to choose to do it. But he knew they were going to choose that. It's confusing to a lot of people how this works. Did God know they would change their ways and he would not destroy them? Yes. He knew that. It was still their choice to do. And they had to choose it. But he knew what they were going to choose. Just as God knew Abraham was going to be faithful and follows God's command to sacrifice his son. Right? Go kill your son. He knew he was going to be faithful. But Abraham still had to choose to follow that God's will to do that. Right? And God knew that at the very last second, Abraham would not have to sacrifice his son. Abraham didn't know that. But God knew that. And Abraham did not know that was going to happen and made a choice to follow God's instruction, even though he did not want to. He did not want to go and have to sacrifice his son. But he said, you know what? If you're telling me, God, to go sacrifice my son, I'm going to go do it. I got to trust that you're telling me the right instruction. And God is building Abraham's faith at that point. And then he goes up. And at the last second, the Lord pulls him away from that. But God knew all that was going to happen. But it was still Abraham's choice. Can you picture it? I'm trying to give you more examples of how this works. Or at least what the Lord has shown me how this works. Abraham was completely surrendered to God's instruction. Completely. Right? Obviously. God also knew that despite warning Lot's wife not to look back when running away, that she would look back. He knew that. She had a choice to make. He said, don't look back. And she chose to look back. And what happened? She turned to a pillar of salt. She turned to a pillar of salt. He knew she would choose to that action. But it was still her choice to make. God knows what we are going to choose. But it is always our choice to surrender to him or not. The people of Nineveh did not know God would show mercy. They didn't know that he wasn't going to destroy their city. But they made a choice to sacrifice comfort, wear the burlap bag, fast, and repent. God knew this would happen. But it was still their choice to act this way. He sees everything from beginning to end. But their actions led to God's blessing. He blessed them by not destroying them. They should have been destroyed. There was justification to destroy them in God's standards. But God relented. He pulled back. He pulled back. Surrendering to God is a powerful act, especially since our flesh and own thoughts can push back against surrendering to God. It's so hard. It's so easy to say, Lord, I surrender all to you. We sing it. But it's not so easy to act on. We got a battle going on. It is literally a battle. Not surrendering can bring us devastating consequences. And I think about all the things I've done and I've seen. Looking back at the time, I didn't recognize. There was consequences to my actions. Didn't even recognize it. And then I look back and I say, ooh, I did some things And there were some consequences to that. Surrendering to God's will and instruction can also bring on great blessings. Doesn't mean it's gonna. God is sovereign. He does what he wants. He does what he wants. He doesn't need us. He wants us. And we are called to trust God that he knows what's best for us. We're called for that. We got to have that trust. We can learn a lot from Jonah as individuals, as a community, and as a nation. Can you imagine how our communities and even our nation would be if a percentage of people would, a greater percentage of people would surrender more, sacrifice comfort, and have a true repentance to the Lord? What a blessed nation we would be. What a blessed community we would have. And we are definitely not there. We are definitely not there. But only the Lord knows if we will get there or not. We could be facing some great consequences before we as a nation choose to have a deeper surrender. Our nation, our communities could get swallowed up in a whale before we actually start to decide to turn around. I'd rather not have that happen personally, but all the signs are not looking good, are they? That may include going through the tribulation period that we hear so much about. Or it could be just other hard periods of time. So the Lord is saying, let's be on our knees, praying for guidance, wisdom, and mercy from the Lord, surrendering to his instruction while we are praying. The Lord always wants to help us at all times. He wants us to make good decisions through the blessed times, through the trying times. He wants to bless us. He does. Sometimes we can look at it like, man, he can pound us sometimes, right? But he's trying to get our attention. He's trying to get our attention. And he wants to bless us. He just wants us to start listening to him more than ourselves. Understanding that Reggie doesn't have all the right answers. Even though I think I do. And in order to do that, we have to be the type of people that do what's instructed in Proverbs. In Proverbs 3:5. Can we pull that up, Jerry? 3:5. Proverbs. It's amazing that even though we're so nasty at times and we push against the Lord, that he still blesses us. But wouldn't it be better to have more blessings? Less trials, less consequences. Wouldn't that be nice? So what we're meant to do is, in 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean into your own understanding. I struggle with that. I struggle with that. I have to be in constant prayer all the time. And we were talking about that, right, Matt, at the meeting the other night? We were talking about that prayer. And we all think of prayers like, dear Lord, can you do this for me? Dear Lord, thank you for that. But prayer is not setting up a specific time. You can have a specific time of prayer, but prayer is communication with God. And you know what? You can communicate with God all the time. And that is prayer unceasingly. You're like, how can I pray all the time and still function as a physical therapist? Because I can be talking to God. I'm not just sitting there saying, I'm praying for Sylvia today, right now, at this moment. No, I'm talking to God. Guide me. Tell me what to do. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Thank you for this person opening up and telling me what's really in their hearts. That's a blessing.
Or as simple as, thank you for the beautiful day, Lord.
Thank you for the beautiful, for the sun. Thank you for the sun. These are all little things, and it's just communicating. It's communicating. That's prayer. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and not lean on your own understanding. The reason that that's in the Bible is because he knows it's going to be a battle for us. If it wasn't, he wouldn't put that in there. He don't care. Like, you guys just surrendered to me anyway, so why would I put that in there? He knows. We're going to struggle with that. It's going to be a battle. So I got to put that so that they can read it. And then they can put it on a plaque. And then they can put it on a tattoo. They can put it on anything so that they remember, trust in the Lord. They can put it on a ring. They can put it anywhere. So that we remember. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. And always acknowledge Him. And always acknowledge Him. And He shall direct your path. When will He direct your path? When we acknowledge Him. If we're not acknowledging Him, guess what? We're not being directed. It's a two-part thing. Can we grab that? He wants to bless us. We have a role in this. We have a role. We have an obligation to ourselves, to God, but to each other. How are we affecting everybody else around us? That's an intense responsibility. But God placed it there. He placed it there. And you can choose to listen to this or not. You can walk out this door and say, the heck with that, I don't agree with that. And that's your choice. But remember, when you make a choice, there's going to be something that follows that.
I just think it's important.
You need a mic. Hang on a second. Let me grab that mic real quick.
We always concentrate on three fibers. But in verse 8, I love that because it says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones.
That's right.
And it's like, with everything that we have, we should do it with every breath, not leaning on our own understanding. Like it's our next breath, we can only breathe by leaning on Him.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. Great point. Yep. Beautiful. So we can only, and again, it tells you about our health, right? It tells about our health in that circumstance, right? And that's a blessing that God can bestow upon us, right? All right. So, dear Lord, we just love you and thank you today. We thank you for the words of Jonah. You've given us a lot to think about. And we want to be people that want to be connected to you, want to be listening to you, want to surrender to you. Not only for our own benefit, because you are worth it. Through the trials, through the tribulations, through the tough times, you are worth it. You gave us life. You gave us purpose. And you are worth it. And we just thank you that you are listening and part of our lives. That we could communicate with you at all times. And you are listening to us. We pray that we have better actions, listening to you, surrendering to your guidance. Better actions that will help us as individuals, that'll help us as a church, that'll help us as a community, and possibly even a nation. We pray for our nation right now. We pray that, this nation falls on its knees. That collectively, as a group of believers, that we can have supernatural power in turning this country back to you. And I just watched a video, Lord, that you showed me of 60,000 young people in a stadium worshiping you. And that's a huge number of people. But we have 360 million people in this country. And we need more. We need more. So help us to be the light out there to show people a different way. That you're the way, the only way. In your name, Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Vicki, Mel has a quick